Symantec usually has their cybersecurity symposium usually around this time. Well, it was scheduled for earlier this week at the Washington Convention Center. That was a big one that did not happen. The National Institute of Standards and Technology had a mobile and cloud computing workshop at their headquarters in Gaithersburg, Maryland, expected to happen. It did not happen. Again, postponed. And IBM's Federal Cloud Innovation Forum was scheduled for yesterday, and that fell victim to the shutdown as well. And there's many, many others that lost their federal government speakers or federal government participation. I was watching one yesterday. The Washington Post had a cybersecurity forum. They had no government speakers, even though they had planned to have several. Ken Schneider is the president of AFSIA International. He says his organization felt the pain of the shutdown almost immediately.
The uncertainty is probably the biggest issue. Any event that's scheduled this week is obviously at risk, and in fact, we've had to postpone one of our events. It's one of the two classified TSSCI intelligence symposia that we do each year. It was scheduled for yesterday and today, and because it was scheduled in a government facility and because it relied on a number of government speakers, we had to cancel it. We hope to reschedule it sometime later in the year.
Now, Schneider says AFSIA's Northern Virginia chapter will actually hold their luncheon today with Air Force General Brian Kieloff, the Director of Warfighter Systems and Integration, but only because the general's not a furloughed employee, being a uniformed service member. Now, if this shutdown continues for another week or two or more, the list of postponed events will increase by dozens. Carrie Ray is the president of GovEvents.com. She says there are 257 government events scheduled in October alone. 100 of those are live events in the D.C. area. And then if you just look at the next 2 weeks alone, Ray says there are 114 events scheduled. And of course, this is across the country. This is not just in D.C. But still, those 114 events over the next 2 weeks obviously could see potential problems if this shutdown continues.
Well, Jason, what's the impact of these cancellations, both from a cost idea, but also from what it does to the federal community?
I think there's both impacts are pretty large. I think it's important to remind our listeners that events play such a major, crucial role in the federal community. We go to a ton of events. That's how we do news coverage. That's where industry meets with government, and government meets with industry. I mean, people find value out of events. Otherwise, well, let's be honest, there wouldn't be so many. And every day there's these events that when they don't happen, that trickle-down effect just increases across the board. Ronnie Bird is the vice president of sales and services for Destination DC. Destination DC is a private nonprofit corporation with 850 businesses and organizations as its members that support the DC area travel and tourism sector. He says, just look at the Symantec conference, for instance, that was postponed until March. Bird says the convention staff that helped with registration, helped with moving people around, they didn't work this week, and that's part of that trickle-down effect. Bird says the shutdown also is impacting non-government conferences.
We do have a couple large conventions that are coming in the first week of October that do have reception events planned in the Smithsonian's, and without knowing what is the end, if there is an end in sight, some of those convention organizers have already started asking to identify availability because their event, while it's unrelated to government, you know, American College of Surgeons, they were planning on using some of the government facilities, and without knowing if those facilities are going to be open, those events still have to happen. And so they've been asking us to help identify some availability.
And in fact, Bert says Destination DC has been in touch with several hotels in the area. They're creating a spreadsheet, a list of ballrooms, the size of those ballrooms, the dates they're available. So customers who need to move events because they want to do it at the Smithsonian or one of the government facilities, they are going to see what's available, what's possible, and what can they use. Other events, Mike Schmoyer, for instance, is the president of Digital Government Institute, which puts on about 7 one-day conferences a year and dozens of webinars aimed at federal employees and contractors. He's also feeling the impact. He says even if the government reopens early next week, feds will have to play catch-up and work, you know, they'll have to fix on work, and they will not be coming to conferences anyways.
There's a lot of issues. You know, moving a date, you have to reconfirm all the speakers. You know, you have to go to all your sponsors. And you also pretty much have to treat it like a new event, because anytime you change a date, not everyone that would pre-register knows if they can attend, you know, at the future date. So that's where your intangible additional costs come in. You almost have to start from scratch again, and it's a lot of work.
Now, Schmoyer says October through mid-November is one of the busiest times of the year for conferences and events in the D.C. area, so finding a new place in the short term may not be very easy. Schmoyer says he's also working with subcontractors who are depending on DGI's events through the shutdown.
I have an independent photographer that comes. We have these two individuals that do video for us at the event, and then there's another company out in Northern Virginia that edits that video. You know, you have the caterers on staff, you know, at the Reagan Building. You have their audiovisual people there. For some of the bigger events, then there'll be the registration suppliers, your general service contractors if there's a lot of exhibit booths. Yeah, there is a whole sub-business community that's going to be severely impacted.
And don't forget, you know, beyond those people, there's also all the peripheral services that get benefits from conferences in town. Destination DC's Bert says hotels, restaurants, taxi cabs, you know, other services are also going to be part of this, feel the trickle-down effect from the shutdown.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So, Jason, if the shutdown lasts, what's in danger of being postponed next week and the rest of the month?
Well, there are several conferences, events already planned for next week, one of them including the Affirm Luncheon, which our colleague Francis Rose is actually moderating at next Thursday. They've told me that they are going to continue. They're on. They're going to have the luncheon unless if something dramatic happens. But right now, everything's on. Other conferences, Meritalk, for instance, is hosting a cloud computing event where several feds are scheduled to speak. Akamai is holding their government forum next week as well. Again, the goal is several, not just federal contractors, federal employees to come speak, but also attend to understand Akamai's project. Those conferences, they're not sure what's going to happen yet. You know, Ken Schneider from FCA International says while they have no events scheduled for next week, many local chapters, too, do have events, and he says those decisions will be made locally on a case-by-case basis, depending on the speaker and other issues. Now, Smoyer also has an event Thursday around big data, and he says he's going to make his decision, you know, by today, this afternoon, or by Monday morning at the latest, of whether or not to hold the conference. Again, it goes back to even if government does reopen early next week, can people attend? Or are they going to be just stuck in the office trying to play catch up on all the work they've missed? Now, Ken Schneider says the long-term impact of these conferences being postponed can't be overlooked either.
Well, the biggest cost, I think, is the loss of the effective dialogue among government, industry, and academia. You know, that's what we're all about, and certainly it's an important part of the national defense community. Now, if you go back to the GAO report of 22 January on IT acquisition and management, they cite billions of dollars being lost every year due to lack of effective communication, both within government and between government and industry. And so any constraints on communication are just going to aggravate that problem. And that's likely to occur if this extends on a long-term basis. Not only will more conferences likely be canceled, but other means of communication between government and industry will be affected as well because contracts are affected. And the government can't even communicate with those contract holders as long as they're held in abeyance.
So for now, all these events are up in the air, leaving people like Mike Schmoyer and joining many federal employees and contractors, crossing their fingers, crossing their toes, hoping for a quick resolution to this shutdown.
So, Jason, is part of the problem, too, that federal speakers obviously can't speak in a capacity as official representatives of anything while they're on furlough. But attendance is possible, even if you're on furlough, but you got to pay your own way, right?
Well, I think that's part of it. And, for instance, Mike Schmoyer doesn't charge government employees to come to his conferences. But at the same time, how do you communicate with those employees? Because you usually communicate with them by their government emails. And if they don't have the access to their government email, in fact, it's illegal for them to have access to their government email. It's very difficult to communicate with you can't send out a thousands of messages through LinkedIn, for instance, to hope you reach the right, you know, John Smith or Jane Doe that works for this agency. So I think that's the other piece is the communication piece of contacting people to say, yes, it's still on and are you coming?
And Jason, what about those people who aren't furloughed, the federal employees who are accepted? Is it just are they just assuming that they are too busy working at the offices to do these events where they've already been scheduled to speak?
Well, I think it goes back to the combination of if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a noise, right? If someone goes to speak but no one shows up to listen to them speak, do you really want them to come speak? And at the same time, you know, these officials who are considered, you know, quote unquote essential, do they really want to be seen at a conference when they should be doing essential work? I mean, as you guys talked to, I guess, the Merit Systems Protection Board, there's three people in that office. Do they really want, you know, should one of them leave the office to go speak at an event? That just doesn't look good. There's optics issues, and there's also, you know, they have work to do anyways, and there's not a lot of support staff, so there's even more work to do.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, Terry Takei, the CIO of DOD, was supposed to speak at that cloud conference at NIST at the closed headquarters. And so, as you say, that didn't happen. So I guess she didn't make it there either. And it cascades.
Absolutely. You know, the idea is, when will the shutdown end? And then it's going to take another week to 2 weeks for really the conferences to really spark back up. Because again, people have work to do. Schedules change. Meetings get put on the schedules now. I mean, it's really, there's a shorter, longer term effect that's happening that will happen once the shutdown ends.